right, coming up next, Sarah Schieber.
All right, so about 4.5 months ago, I sort of became aware of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. I'm listening.
And to be perfectly honest, about 4.5 months ago, I just about fell in love with Sherlock Holmes. I'll admit right up front that I never paid much attention to him before. Denizen of popular culture, though he may be, he rarely registered in my mind as more than an odd and faceless man in a shapeless coat with the ability to make seemingly impossible deductions beneath a really pointless hat. This is worthy of admiration, to be sure, but undue reflection and affections could be better spent elsewhere, in my opinion. And then something happened. Some writers saw fit to bestow yet another incarnation of Sherlock upon the world, one which the BBC then rendered replete with a great big wool coat settled upon effortlessly broad shoulders to carve out a silhouette that could arrest far more than the nefarious characters that it pursues. And a friend had kept suggesting that I give this new series a try, and I finally relented. Suddenly, this funny, taciturn, and aloof man, this detective seemed to have lit upon a direct line to my heart. As a former English major, I was appropriately ashamed at this turn of events. I am all too aware of my previous inconsistencies in the allotment of my attention to the truth of this character, a man who has leapt from one medium to the next with ease time and time again, proving himself as one of the most far-reaching and influential personas of present times. I can't think of any other character or story that has thrived in as many retellings and adaptations as Sherlock Holmes. He has kept his own name through several movies, miniseries, TV shows, even comic books. I saw one where he was doing something with, like, robot monkey ninjas. Yeah. He has also taken on other names, Gregory House and Adrian Monk, for example. But I have to wonder, why did this one get me? Really, I'm not quite sure, and I've thought about it for a while. I had classes on Sherlock Holmes when I was in school, and it's just nothing ever quite hit me like this. Before I'm tempted to simply start gushing about how intricately well done this particular series is, I'd prefer to point my finger at a culprit that may or may not deserve total blame, Netflix. Thanks to the wonders of streaming video, I had the world of Sherlock at my fingertips. No need to wait days or weeks for the next episode. Just click A on the Wii remote. Bored on the train? Sherlock obligingly makes an appearance on my phone within seconds. I had no ostensible external limitations to break up the amount of time I had Sherlock beaming directly into my brain. Beyond the basic demands of everyday living, I promise. So when you think about it, the constantly burgeoning realm of technology allows us to indulge our thirst for the next storyline, the next plot twist, with minimal effort and next to no delay. An ever-present avalanche that has wrapped us tight in a technicolor hug of half-truths and outright fantasies that eagerly await our attention at every turn, you could say that technology has morphed into a new and virtually bottomless avenue through which we may express our emotional connections. As a result, the line between fiction and reality these days seems to be in constant danger of blurring beyond any definitive recognition. And it's easy enough to let ourselves think it might all just be a bit better if our choicest fictions were only real. But truly, to break through the pages that separate this world from the next and fully embrace a life that trades our sometimes fictions for a singular reality, that would be no small thing. I truly believe that it is from his inexorably fictional existence that Sherlock draws the particular brand of subtle magnetism and authority that has kept him standing tall through countless reimaginings. Following along as he races through the streets of London to fearlessly solve any conundrum, no matter how baffling, presents a unique opportunity to conquer our own fears and misgivings that refuse to manifest as more tangible foes in our everyday waltz between hearth and the world beyond the front stoop. The magic of that transformation, for me, is in the fiction. In the end, the thin veil that flutters between the currents of our daily reality and the woven fictions against which we lean whilst shifting our feet to view the world anew is what keeps our vision crystal clear from this world to the next. Even though the absolute concreteness of our reality may feel dull and dim compared to the bright lights of the fictions that lighten our days and the enticement of even brief moments of total mental and emotional escape, it is from the immediacy of our beige walls and boring Berber carpets that the wisps of magic that lace these tales are born. Our fictions are an extension of our inner truths, and were we to abandon the ground upon which they were built to live in a tower built of fickle musings and passing fancy, the walls would quickly crumble to leave us alone with the emptiness of a world constructed of lies and insubstantial feeling. Even Benedict Cumberbatch's eyes can't be like that. You're welcome. The separation of this is what makes us whole, allows one side of the lens to pull the other into focus. And with each turn of the page, our fictions offer the chance for the scope of our reality to take on a bit more of the world.
Guys, real quick, let's come clean. Everyone but Claire, some of your favorite fictional crushes. I'll start. Shadow Cat from X-Men Evolution. Woo! Yeah, right? Yeah. Right?
Ellen Ripley.
Okay.
Benedict Cumberbatch's top fiction.
We'll see.
His face is too good to be true, Claire.